A huge victory for our freedoms. A federal judge has just blocked the United Airlines company from imposing the employee vaccine mandate. Now, please make sure that you do us a favor and share this podcast on your social media platforms. Hit that forward button, share it with your family and your friends, because what I'm about to tell you exclusively here, you are not going to find in the media. You're not going to find it on social media. Now, we have just gotten this information. I'm going to run through it with you because it's a massive victory for freedom of choice and not losing all of your rights to these vaccine mandates, these tyrants with the Biden administration. A federal judge has blocked United Airlines from imposing this employee vaccine mandate. I told you about these six brave employees. This goes back to the point that I've been saying over and over again for a long time now. We just have to learn to unify. We have to learn to stand up to these tyrants. We have to learn that it is important that we not only stand up, but we organize. And it doesn't have to be in groups of thousands. These six brave employees knew their rights were being trampled. And they got a lawyer. And they sued on behalf of up to 2,000 other individuals. On behalf of up to 2,000 other employees that didn't have the guts. And that's exactly what it is. They didn't have the guts. They didn't have the cojones, okay, to actually fight back. There are power in numbers. I'm going to keep saying that over and over again. And this time it was only six. And six people in this country very well may change the entire government mandate from the Biden administration. Now, I will give you a quick synopsis explaining why these airlines are doing these vaccine mandates. All of these airlines have government contracts. And what Joe Biden knew is he had the power to say that if you have a government contract, you must have a vaccine mandate. You'll lose your government contract otherwise. Now, for Southwest Airlines, for example, that's about 10% of their business. It's significant to their bottom line. Their government contracts, American Airlines, United Airlines, other airlines have government contracts, whether it be for soldiers that are flying around the world, whether it be for immigration, multiple issues, multiple things, government employees and workers that need to fly around the country. They have these government contracts. And so what the Biden administration said, they said, okay, we can mandate those in the military do it. We can mandate government workers do it, and we can mandate contractors. And if you don't do what we tell you to do, you will lose that government contract. That's why all these airlines have been bowing down. Now, these six employees are heroes, and we should treat them like heroes, just like we should be standing behind the Southwest Airline pilots. And these six heroes said, no, I'm not taking it anymore. And it looks like they're going to win big. This federal judge in Texas, and again, this information you're not going to hear anywhere else, has issued a temporary restraining order against United Airlines, blocking the airline from imposing a vaccine mandate against any of its employees in a nationwide class action lawsuit. Six people did this, folks. Six. They are heroes. According to the judicial order, which could be the first of its kind in the country against a coronavirus vaccine mandate, United Airlines is prohibited from placing employees with religious and medical exemptions on unpaid leave until October the 26th, while litigation continues. Now, what they were going to do, United Airlines, was going to place employees with religious and medical exemptions on unpaid leave. They could do that for years, which would punish these employees for standing up for their rights. The judge also prohibited the airline from denying any employee requests for religious or medical exemptions. This goes back to what I've been saying for a while now. If you want to win, you need to get a lawyer, because the law is pretty clear and it's on your side. There are a lot of people that are being denied religious exemptions because they don't actually know how to fight legally. And if you're going to fight, you're going to need a lawyer. I'll give you another example of the fighting that's taking place in this country where people, patriots, are standing up. Southwest, it's just been announced as I'm recording this now, has canceled hundreds of more flights today. Southwest Airlines has now canceled hundreds and hundreds of more flights after the weekend filled with operational challenges, including canceled flights on Monday and Tuesday. The Dallas-based airline has now canceled 384 more flights and delayed another 303 flights, according to the new information that's been given us from FlightAware. Now, Sunday, Southwest Airlines, as you know, canceled more than 1,000 flights, 30% of its schedule, due to, quote, what they claimed was air traffic control issues. And they lied, and they knew they were lying, and the media helped them lie for 4 days. They also claimed it was weather challenges at its Florida airports. That was also a lie. And for 4 days, the media told this lie before they finally started reporting the truth. No, this is a walkout. This is a flu out. This is a COVID-19 flu out. By the way, that was the highest rate by far of a major U.S. airline. Allegiant canceled 6% of its flights. American Airlines canceled 5% of its flights. Spirit canceled 4% of their flights in comparison with the 30% of flights of Southwest Airlines. Don't tell me it was weather. Things are getting worse. FAA now slapping Southwest Airlines and putting out new information about what your rights are if your flights are being canceled, and they're claiming it's weather, and it's actually not weather. Let me go back to the other amazing United Airlines lawsuit. The judge also prohibited the airline, United, from denying any employee requests for religious or medical exemptions. Before, they were denying these left and right. Previously, the airline did not allow employees to apply for an exemption after August the 31st, which is, again, against your rights. They were saying, if you don't apply by August 31st, you're never going to get an exemption. That's not how religious exemptions work. And the judge smacked them down for this as well. Why? Because six brave people got a lawyer, and look at what just happened. Don't tell me there's not power, even in small numbers. Earlier in the case, the airline also agreed of its own accord, after the lawsuit was filed by the six people, to postpone, just because of the threat of litigation, because they know they're wrong, its vaccine mandate until October the 15th for employees with exemptions during litigation. The day before the October 8th hearing, however, United filed a partial motion to dismiss the case, alleging the court lacked jurisdiction over the claims in the lawsuit. In order to allow the court reasonable time to respond to the jurisdictional challenge and to rule in the hearing for the preliminary injunction, which was reset for Wednesday, the judge issued the restraining order. United Airlines originally told its 67,000 U.S. employees, and out of the 67,000 U.S. employees, six people said enough and they're winning, that they must be vaccinated against the Chinese coronavirus or secure an exemption. Remember, the exemption had to be in late August, by September the 27th, or face termination from their job. As the airline's vaccine mandate stands, any employees with exemptions would still be considered employees, but you're still going to get punished because you would be placed on unpaid leave and would lose your benefits for up to 6 years. Now, I want you to think about this. So even if the airline gave you your exemption, you would still be an employee. Okay. And I want you to think about how unfair this is, how unjust this is. And this is why the six employees are winning now. They say that you, fine, we'll say you're an employee, we'll place you on unpaid leave, you'll lose all your benefits and your pay for up to 6 years, or, quote, until the airline deems the pandemic conditions safe for unvaccinated employees to return, according to the complaint. Well, who can go 6 years without a paycheck, folks? Who can go 6 years without a paycheck? Who can go 6 years without medical, without benefits? I don't know many people that could do that. I would argue if you're working at the airline, probably none of you can do that. And that's exactly now what they're doing. And it is disgusting. Ken Blackwell, formerly the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations Human Rights Commission, when he read what the United Airlines was about to do to their employees, saying, all right, fine, we'll put you on unpaid leave up to 6 years. You will lose all of your benefits if we even give you an exemption, if you secure an exemption for not getting the COVID-19 vaccine. He put it this way, quote unquote, it's unconscionable to force any person to undergo a medical treatment that they object to as a matter of faith. Quote, when so many other nations recognize that there is no medical reason for people with natural immunity to take a vaccine, it is essential that America lead the way to protect our citizens' rights on that front also. Now, the class action lawsuit brought by six brave Americans with a powerhouse Washington, D.C. law firm filed in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas in September represents up to 2,000 United Airline employees because so many of them were cowards and didn't get in the fight. I'm calling them cowards because it's time for people to stand up and stop acting like cowards. It's time for us to realize that we are being treated like we're not even human beings. And it's time for us to stand up to the government that is overstepping their bounds, and legally they are wrong. You don't believe me? Let me read you what the court said. The court now concludes it is necessary to issue this temporary restraining order to avoid risking irreparable injury and to maintain the status quo in the case pending the court's hearing and resolution of the plaintiff's motion for preliminary injunction, the judge wrote. The surprising judicial order comes at the end of several tumultuous weeks for the company. United Airlines instituted a potentially dangerous respirator mask mandate for unvaccinated employees. Many would call it harassment. Just days after several employees filed the lawsuit alleging discrimination by the company concerning reasonable accommodations for religious and medical exemptions. And again, I go back to what I said weeks ago. Get a lawyer. According to an internal memo obtained by Breitbart News, the airline has temporarily mandated that unvaccinated employees wear N95 or KN95 respirator masks at all times, effective October the 2nd, as it waits for the, quote, outcome of the litigation. This is harassment. Regarding its reasonable accommodation process, the company agreed to supply employees with the respirators if they could not obtain their own. The memo continued, in part, you must wear your mask at all times in all United locations, including outdoors or on aircrafts. That includes for personal or business travel. You may remove your mask only when you are actively eating or drinking, and you must put your mask back on in between bites and sips. To the extent possible, please only eat or drink food outdoors or in rooms alone or when socially distanced from others. Failure to comply with this mask requirement is subject to disciplinary action as outlined in the mask policy and the working together guidelines. In other words, even if you're outside, we're going to make life hell for you. You're on a hot tarmac, we're going to make hell for you. You're loading bags in the belly of a plane, we're going to make it hell for you. We're looking for a reason to fire you because we care about the government contract and we'll do whatever they tell us to do. The policy at United also includes strict guidance such as putting the respirator back on in between the bites and sips, a stench which arguably could lead to improperly trained employees repeatedly touching their masks, an action health experts have advised actually against. But this is about harassment and control of you as a human being. Unvaccinated employees also have also reportedly been isolated and bullied since the policy went into effect. Sources have said giving them the worst jobs. Anyone who breaks the respirator policy could face termination. It's been tense. You have the vaccinated, especially the junior vaccinated people, happy about their senior unvaccinated people, meaning their seniority is going to go up, a United employee said about the situation. The airline's temporary restraining order mandate is quite significant given the company's alleged breach of occupational safety and health administration OSHA regulations in instituting it. According to OSHA guidelines, by the way, N95 masks are considered to be air purifying negative pressure demand respirators, meaning employers requiring workers to wear them must comply with the OSHA respiratory protection program. Bet you didn't know this. That's why you get a lawyer and fight back. OSHA requires employers to take several precautions, which United Airlines is not doing apparently, to guarantee the employee's safety. These methods include, but are not limited to, conducting medical evaluations to determine an employee's ability to use a respirator. They haven't done that. Conducting fit tests to see if the employee is fit enough, meaning like has a fit enough body to pass the test. They haven't been doing that. Providing comprehensive training. They haven't done that. Providing maintenance and care for the respirators. We've been told they haven't done that. Implementing written policies, establishing procedures, and conducting written evaluations to ensure the respiratory program is being properly followed. What we've been told is basically none of that is actually being followed because this isn't about your safety. This is about you bowing down and complying to the federal government mandates. And United Airlines says, we want the contract, so you're going to bow down to what we tell you to do or lose your job or be ostracized or be harassed or be put on leave for up to 6 years. Several sources have said they've not received any opportunities for medical evaluations, fit tests, or training before since the policy has been instituted, violating the OSHA regulations. When properly worn, N95s and K95s provide better protection than regular face masks against the Chinese coronavirus. However, respirators, when improperly worn or worn for too long, can cause severe side effects and potential injury. As a result, you guessed it, several employees have already allegedly suffered health issues and have even been badly injured, according to a United Airlines employee with knowledge of the situation. Several alleged injuries resulting from improper respirator use include, one, an agent with the company allegedly fainted, which resulted in a broken clavicle, a torn rotator cuff, and a torn meniscus. Two, a flight attendant allegedly fainted and fell into a jump seat. Three, a baggage handler working extreme heat up to 120 degrees in an aircraft belly. Yes, you guessed it, what I said earlier, allegedly passed out and fell face first on a belt loader, suffering additional injuries. Four, an agent allegedly fainted while in an office. Paramedics were called and had to cut the respirator off the employee's face. The CDC has openly acknowledged the dangers of improper and prolonged N95 usage. On their own website, it even talks about the side effects. They say that healthcare workers who are working longer hours without a break while continuously wearing an N95 mask or having blood CO2 levels issues may increase past the 1 hour mark, which could have a significant psychological effect on the wearer. Some of the known psychological effects of increased concentrations of CO2 include headache, increased pressure inside the skull, nerve system changes, increased pain threshold, reduction in cognitive judgment, decreased situational awareness, difficulty coordinating sensory or cognitive abilities and motor ability, decreased vision, widespread activation of the nervous system that can oppose the direct effects of CO2 on the heart and blood vessels, increased breathing frequency, increased work of breathing, which is the result of breathing through a filter medium, cardiovascular effects, diminished cardio and blood vessel issues, reduced tolerance to lighter workloads. Again, this is about you complying, you being silenced, you shutting up. And it took 6 brave employees to stop it. I was just talking about these 6 brave employees at United Airlines and proof that there is power in numbers. I hope their story will inspire you as a parent, not just on fighting vaccine mandates, but also fighting the government and what they are doing, which is trying to take away your voice. Let me give you a perfect example of what's happening now. There are parents that are trying to fight vaccine mandates. They're trying to fight mass mandates in their schools. They're trying to fight critical race theory in their schools from being taught. They're trying to fight against transgender bathroom rules, which are being just completely abused by dudes going into chicks' bathrooms trying to, you know, see something, putting kids' lives at risk. We already know now. And I'm going to tell you a story in a minute, unfortunately, about a girl who was raped in the bathroom by a guy wearing a skirt. And the school tried to cover it up. But we've got to learn to fight back and not be intimidated, whether it's the threat of losing your job, which is what these companies are now doing because the government's saying and Biden's saying, you got to do this, or the threat of you being called a domestic terrorist because you actually show up for a meeting. Now, let me set the stage real quick. Politicians are notorious for brimstone and fire type conversations, okay? They are notorious for rhetoric that is in your face. They are notorious for burning the house down with their statements politically. You know, get in their faces wherever you find them. There's no safe place for these politicians. You know, even last week we saw this senator who was, you know, surrounded in a bathroom, for goodness sakes. They're like, well, it is what it is, right? It happens, part of the process. Politicians are notorious for this, but they don't like it when you do the same thing to them. And when you do now, they're calling you domestic terrorists. In fact, they're so afraid that parents are going to gain back control of the school boards and gain back control of their school systems, which are indoctrinating your kids with things like critical race theory and transgender bathrooms and mask mandates and vaccine mandates, that they're now trying to get you investigated by the FBI. And they're trying to turn you into a domestic terrorist because you're showing up, and your voice should matter because it's your kids in the school. Now, the elected officials and the school board members are elected officials all over the country. They don't like that all of a sudden you've woken up and are starting to pay attention after being asleep for 20 plus years, 30 years in our public school systems. They don't like that a bunch of parents are showing up and mouthing off to them. Now, remember, if you really are there to serve the people, when you see a bunch of people show up that are really not organized, like in a union capacity, you'd think you'd really shut up and sit down and take notes and listen. Because obviously you as an elected official are getting something wrong, right? You're getting something wrong in a major way would be what a real elected official would think. Like, wow, we really messed up, guys. Look at all these parents that are here. These are the people that vote us into office. We need to all sit down. We all need to shut up and we all need to listen to what they're saying. That's what normal people would do. Okay, that's what a normal response would be. They're not doing that. You're now a terrorist. You're a domestic terrorist that should be monitored and you should be arrested. And the FBI should come to your home and ask questions. It's pretty interesting how close this is to what happened on January the 6th, right? We call it a terrorist attack. We say it's worse than 9/11, even though it's not. We say that all these people died, even though a bunch of people didn't die. In fact, there was one lady that did die at the hands of a police officer. No accountability for blowing her away. It's very eerie to think if you look at what they did on January the 6th and compare it to what they're now doing to school board meetings around the country. You want to silence a group of people? Call them terrorists. Treat them like terrorists. Call them domestic terrorists. Go all in and say they're terrorists over and over and over again. The media is doing it right now, in fact, and we have a montage I'm going to play for you. And if you're listening to this, I hope you will share this montage with your friends, because this is what the media is trying to do to all of you parents that just show up at a meeting. They're trying to turn you into terrorists, with headlines on the page that parents are threatening. They're not threatening. They're yelling. They're angry because school board is not listening to them. Take a listen to what they're trying to do to you as a concerned parent.
Violent looking, angry, spewing parents outside of these schools.
Individuals intent on creating chaos for the sake of creating chaos.
These actions could be the equivalent to a form of domestic terrorism.
This becomes a security crisis, in a sense, for the nation.
By the way, has there been any beatings at school board meetings anywhere in the country? Because they're saying it's a domestic crisis. Have anybody just jumped a bunch of people and beat the hell out of them? No, that didn't happen. It hasn't happened. And everybody knows that. Okay, that's not happened, right? Has there been a shooting at a school board meeting? No. So why are you talking about and treating people like terrorists all over the country? Because they're indicting any parent now that just shows up and has an opinion. That is an opinion that is separate, different, or not the same as the school board and what they've been doing. You need to understand that. We don't want to have a debate. When there's open forums, we don't really want there to be an open forum unless you're telling us how great our decisions are. Right. Understand what they're doing right now. This is your thoughts will be silenced. Your thoughts will disappear. And we will shut you down and shut you up. That is what we will do. We will shut you down and we will shut you up. You will have no opinion unless it's what we tell you the opinion can be. No one's gotten their AWS kicked. No one's been shot. No one's been killed. No one's burned down a building like Black Lives Matter and Antifa did. But you know what? The Justice Department headline, Justice Department tells FBI to address disturbing spike in threats against school boards and educators. Where are the threats? Again, find me the threats. They're not out there like they're acting like they are. There's not a bunch of parents saying, I'm going to kill you. They say, well, you know, I feel threatened because you showed up. Well, welcome. Put on your big boy panties, okay? If you don't like being on a school board and you can't take heat, you probably shouldn't have run for office. If you don't like taking heat from parents, you probably need to quit your job on the school board. If you don't like someone else's opinion, you're not willing to listen to their opinion without calling them a terrorist, you definitely shouldn't be on a school board. School boards are there to listen to the parents, not to dictate to the parents. But for 30 years now, we've allowed them to dictate. Back to the media calling you a terrorist. Because that's what you are, right? You're a terrorist now. You're a national security threat. You're like the 9/11 hijackers.
Security crisis, in a sense, for the nation.
This may also mobilize even more law enforcement to be at these meetings.
It is dangerous to our children when the parents themselves are the school bullies.
I think one of the worst things is the actions at the board meetings. The calling of names, tyrant, Marxist, communist.
We've never seen anything like we're seeing at these school boards now. What on earth has happened in this country?
Sometimes they're not even talking. They are yelling and creating chaos.
Things have become so scary at these meetings.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
New laws may be necessary.
There's always the possibility that people will face criminal prosecution for this kind of conduct.
The FBI and federal law enforcement is tailor-made for that kind of national level coordination with state and local police.
The Attorney General has put out a letter. They will take actions they take.
What does it mean that something that is generally boring and neutral, like a school board meeting, has become a locus for violence?
You look at the rage, the anger, you think, what is this doing to the children in those homes and their mental health?
We have a board of ed working with the local school boards to determine the curriculum for our schools. You don't want parents coming in every different school jurisdiction.
And they want to shut down our schools and, you know, move kids over to charter schools and private schools without the oversight of the state. And that's wrong.
That's wrong, folks. That's wrong. You just can't walk up in here and tell us what you think. You're a bunch of terrorists. You're making threats against our school. Okay, show me the threats. Well, I don't have to. I feel threatened. Again, the headline on NBC, the threats against our schools, protesters angry over critical race theory, mass, disrupt school board meetings. So how is that a threat if you're disrupting a school board meeting when you guys aren't listening? Another one, coronavirus pandemic, DOJ to address threats against school officials. Again, where are the actual threats? Me showing up and yelling at you because you're not listening to us? That's not a threat. It's called public discourse. Threats and violence against school boards rise sharply. Where's the violence? I want to see the articles. American extremism is another headline on TV. Where are the violence? I want to see the violence. Like, where's a school board member gotten their AWS kicked in the parking lot? It hasn't happened in America, folks, but we'll put it on TV. Justice Department tells FBI to address the disturbing spike in threats against school board and educators. Another headline reads. DOJ investigating threats to local school boards. Man, there's a lot of generic stuff in here, isn't there? There's a whole lot. School board harassment, intimidation, or excuse me, another headline. School board harassed, intimidated by crowds. So showing up and speaking for 2 minutes is now harassment. Really? So that's where we are now. Okay, got it. I'm glad we figured all this out. White House jumping all in. AG Garland takes actions on school board threats. Again, where are the actual threats? School board harassed, locally intimidated by crowds of parents showing up. I mean, the list goes on and on. These are all fake headlines. DOJ investigating threats to local school boards, another headline reads. So me showing up, I'm a threat? When I show up, I'm a threat. That's what you're now telling me. I come in hot. Let's say I come in a little angry. Fired up, I start yelling at you. Does that mean I'm public enemy number one? Apparently, that's exactly what I am. Back off, parents. You're terrorists now. Hand over your kids, parents, and let us do what we want to do with them. And if you don't, they're going to come after you. Wow. And these are the people that you're trusting to educate your kids. Wake up, show up, and get angry. Does angry mean violence? No. It doesn't, but maybe we can... Maybe our words can get them so terrified they'll all just resign from their jobs. oh, no, we're going to have the federal government come after you. And the reason why is because this is about the vaccine mandates, folks. Remember, the government, the Biden administration, you're going to get vaccinated, and so are your kids. And you'll have no say-so, and it will make your life hell. California, you think you can hide your kid in private school? Nope, we're going to mandate vaccine mandates there, too. So don't think for a moment that you're going to be able to get away with any of this. We're going to pound you, folks. We'll arrest you. We'll harass you. We'll call you a terrorist. Stand up, America. Get a lawyer and fight back. Parents are being arrested now all over the country for speaking up at school board meetings. There are four major issues that parents are now speaking up about. Number one, vaccine mandates. Number two, not in any particular order, by the way, mask mandates. Number three, critical race theory. And number four, the LGBTQ transgender agenda to have dudes dressed like chicks going into locker rooms and bathrooms and bathroom stalls with other females. These are the big issues. And then we're going to add another one, actually. There's a new one, and that is parents are now starting to go to their kids' libraries and schools and finding out that there's explicit sexual material they can read about a host of different things, including why you should be ashamed of being a white person, right, with critical race theory and all these other propaganda horrific books. So there's really five issues. What has happened because of these lockdowns is parents are now finally waking up to the reality that our schools are actually about indoctrinating your kids, not educating your kids. And now you are being treated like a terrorist. Now, I told you about the media and what they're doing and how quickly they are turning on you, okay? Parents now, you are the bad guys. Make no mistake about this. You are the bad guys. You are the spawn of Satan. You should be treated like a terrorist. I'm going to play for you our super cut of all the different channels coming after parents who are showing up to school board meetings actually having something to say about their kids' futures and how the media is now treating you like terrorists. Now, they're not actually saying you're beating school board members, attacking them, shooting them, killing them. No, no, no. They're just accusing you of being mean, so therefore they believe that's what you're going to do. Therefore, you should be treated like a terrorist. I want you to listen very closely to this montage, and I want you to listen to the accusations. They're not based in fact. They're based on BS. They're based on potential fear, future fear, not reality. Take a listen.
Violent looking, angry, spewing.
Is that breaking a law that the FBI should investigate you, come to your house and arrest you like two different men were arrested in Round Rock, Texas, right outside of Austin? Is that a reason to arrest you 30 days after you spoke at a school board meeting? Because that just happened. I'm going to tell you that story in a moment. But let's go back to that very first thing that you just heard. They now want you to be investigated by the FBI's domestic terrorists because the way you look.
Violent looking.
Yes. Get the FBI involved. Investigate a parent that is violent looking. Did they commit a crime? Well, no. But they looked violent. So looking violent, that's perceived. I mean, I would argue that every day during my show, someone could say I look violent, right? Because I'm animated. I get frustrated. I'm angry. I'm upset about where this country is going. So I guess that can be perceived by some woke crazy person as being violent looking. So should the FBI raid my house now? That's what they want.
Violent looking, angry, spewing parents outside of these schools.
Parents outside these schools. You're a domestic terrorist now. Parents. You are now domestic terrorists. Now think about this again. Because you have an opinion, because you have woken up, because you started to read, because you don't like being told what you can and can't do with your kids, you are now considered a domestic terrorist. That is reality. That is where we are. And this is happening all over the country. Do me a favor. I want you to Google, when you get a chance, parents arrested at school board meeting. And I want you to click on the news tab. And I want you to see what pops up. And this is just over the last week. Loudoun County father arrested at school board event. Says school tried to cover up his daughter's bathroom assault rape. Parents want answers after two alleged sexual assaults at Loudoun County schools. Boonville police, man arrested at school board meeting after refusing to wear a mask or leave. There's another headline from you from just 15 hours ago. Cedarburg parent given disorderly conduct citation in Milwaukee. Yeah. Mask battle continues at school board meeting with multiple parents arrested. Another headline says, parent GOP accused DOG of threatening school protesters like domestic terrorists, saying, when are they going to stop? Lawrence superintendent school board addresses series of fights at high school by the students. Parent who was angry gets arrested. Mass madness at school board meeting. Another headline. Parent arrested for refusing to wear a mask. North Carolina to Florida. Protesters have disrupted school board meetings over masks. Critical race theory. There's a News Observer headline right there. School board group asks U.S. for help policing threats. Parents, they say they're getting too loud in meetings, canceling meetings. Court documents in Connecticut reveal new details about a teacher that covered up a sexual assault. Father arrested for being angry. Round Rock, Leander ISD parents meet to pursue legal action against school board members after they've been arrested for showing up. Another father arrested after becoming angry as new details come out in a teacher sex assault case. You notice the common denominator here, right? Over and over again, it looks like the same common denominator we're hearing. It's the parents that are getting arrested. Let me take you to a little town called Round Rock, Texas. This is a small little place in Texas. I've been there, vacationed there. Very quiet, quaint, God bless America kind of town. Not if you're a socialist on the school board. Two men have been arrested in connection to disruptive Round Rock ISD school board meeting. That's how the headline reads on the KXAN NBC News local website. Did you hear me? Two men arrested in connection to disrupt Round Rock ISD school board meeting. So if you come in and they believe you, quote, have disrupted them, they will come to your house and arrest you 30 days after the initial meeting. Not a joke. Because you're fighting back, folks. You're now a terrorist. And they will use the police to lock you up because school board members have all the power to indoctrinate your kids. You have no power. Listen to how the local news tells this story. It's disgusting. I would argue it's anti-American. It's anti-freedom.
Charges after a Round Rock Independent School District board meeting ended in chaos. Now, the topic of the meeting.
By the way, let's just stop real quick. The school board meeting, they say, ended in chaos. It ended in chaos because the school board members wouldn't listen and wouldn't let people speak. That's the part that people need to understand about the story that you're about to hear. They drug out a parent who was speaking at the microphone during his 2 minutes because they didn't like what he was saying during the 2 minutes. You get 2 minutes to speak, and the guy said things they didn't like, so they decided to shut him down, silence him, and drag him from the room. Do you think other parents are going to get quieter when you do that, or you think they're going to get louder? You think that's going to make the meeting go well when you drag a grown man from a room who has a child in your school district that is just trying to give you his opinion on what's happening? When you silence people, it usually doesn't end well. When you use the police to intimidate and to drag people from a room while they're just making their voices be heard, it usually doesn't end well. And see, what's happening is these school board members are now saying, if we can just accuse people of being disruptive, then we can cancel the school board meeting, and then we don't have to listen to the rest of you. They're doing this on purpose. They're not afraid, right? But there it is. They just say to you, hey, these two men arrested. These two men have been arrested in connection with disrupting this meeting, and now we're going to arrest them, so you better not do the same thing, because if you do, we'll come after you, and we'll arrest you too. I'm going to back up again to the very beginning. Now that you know a little bit more about this story, about these men that came out to make their voices heard about the mandates of the school board and the fact that they've now been arrested a month after this school board meeting. And then the school board members are able to shut down the meeting because of these men that they decide to escalate the situation. And then they blame it on them for them getting arrested because they came out to speak their minds. And the media, ho, ho, ho. They are public enemy number one, folks.
Round Rock Independent School District board meeting ended in chaos. Now, the topic of the meeting, masks. KXAN digital reporter Grace Reeder spoke to those two men after they were released from jail today.
Shame on you. Communists. Communists. Let the public in.
By the way, I love that they only show that part in the meeting after he was taken away from the microphone, after they refused to let him speak. The only thing they show is something that they think maybe will make him look bad, him yelling communist to the school board as two police officers are dragging him from the room. All because they didn't want to hear what this father had to say.
That man, Dustin Clark, and another, Jeremy Story, who was outside the main meeting room, were arrested Friday and charged.
Spent the night in the jail.
Charged with hindering proceedings by disorderly conduct.
Mr. Clark, you have to leave.
A spokesperson for Round Rock ISD says while this is still being investigated, the men were charged for issues at this week's meeting and previous meetings. She said there were concerns that their actions created a, quote, potentially threatening environment for student, staff, and community members present and hindered official proceedings.
By the way, I want you to really think about now how hard the left, who have gotten control of our school boards all over the country, are responding. I'm going to read this statement to you from the Round Rock. This is a little dinky town in Texas. Quote, the reason why we can arrest parents is because, quote, there were concerns over disruptive behavior that created a potential threatening environment for students. You put him in front of a microphone. You didn't like what he said. You shut his microphone off. Who escalated the situation? Did he talk over his amount of time? A lot of time? No. You guys escalated the situation, and then you told the police to haul him off before he was finished speaking with his allotted time. So you tell me who escalated the situation, these scumbags, in Round Rock, Texas. The idea that there were concerns over disruptive behavior. So if I don't say exactly what you want me to say, I'm now doing disruptive behavior. That's what you're telling me. That created a, quote, potentially threatening environment for the students, staff, and community members present and hindered official proceedings. Who hindered the official proceedings? You or did they? Because they were speaking in their allotted time. You then arrested them and put them in jail overnight because you didn't like what they were doing. You didn't like that what they were saying. You didn't like that they were standing up to you tyrants.
We don't feel like we created any sort of animosity or environment.
After being released from...
By the way, where is there a law, true law, that says I can't be blunt or bold? Let's go back to freedom of speech here. If I want to go to a meeting and I want to look at an elected official and say, I think you suck at your job, should that put me in jail? Because based on what we're seeing now, the answer is yes. If I look at a school board member and I say, you are trying to indoctrinate my children instead of educating my children, should that get me locked up? Based on what we're seeing, the answer is yes. What happened to freedom of speech, folks? This is when you start pulling your kids out of school, by the way, when they start doing things like this, because without your kid, they have no money. Every child that gets pulled out of school hurts their bottom line. When you start, you know, taking your kids out and you start putting them in different schools or homeschooling them, it destroys their power because without your dollars attached to your child, they don't have any money. If I want to go into a school board meeting and I want to look at the elected officials on the school board and say, you guys aren't listening to us and we're going to vote you out of office, should that get me arrested? Based on what we're seeing now, that absolutely would get me arrested. If I looked at a school board member, I said, I think you're worthless. I think you're a commie. Does that get me arrested? Based on what we're seeing now, that would get me arrested. In the United States of America, we're supposed to have freedom of speech. Now, there's a difference between an opinion, and I do this for a living. Been doing this since I was 12 years old. There is a difference between my opinion and an actual threat. If I look at a school board member and say, I'm going to come to your house, I'm going to kick your AWS. Is that a threat? Yes. Should that get me in trouble? Absolutely. If I looked at a school board member and said, I hope somebody kills you, would that be a threat? Of course. Should I get in trouble for that? Yes. If I look at a school board member, I say, I think you're the worst school board member in the history of this country, and I think you're a scumbag. Should that get me arrested? The answer is no. But apparently now it does. Even in little towns like Round Rock, Texas.
In jail Saturday morning, KXAN caught up with Story and Clark. They feel they're being targeted for speaking out against what they believe was a violation of the Open Meetings Act.
There was no reason to not have more chairs.
Attendees and even a few board
members. And by the way, you just heard him mention that they believe that this Open Meetings Act was violated because they didn't have enough chairs for the public. And this is what the school boards are doing right now to you, the parents. they're now taking away your chairs. They're using these ridiculous social distancing rules, and they're having, instead of hundreds of chairs, like 18 chairs. They're putting parents out in the hallways so that you can't clap in large numbers, that you can't unite in large numbers, that you can't support one another in large numbers. And so the point they were making was this is a violation of the Open Meeting Act. There's not enough, there is not enough chairs in here for this to even constitute an open meeting. And they're right. They're absolutely right, just so you know. They're right, okay? What they are doing, and they are doing everything they can to silence you folks. They are going to use things like take away the chairs, put you 6 feet apart, make you wait in the hallway, not allow for many of you to congregate and gather and to clap. And then if you say something they don't want you to say, they will then say, well, I felt threatened. You know what? Because you feel threatened doesn't mean you're actually threatened. Okay? If I tell you I think you're a worthless politician, that doesn't mean that I threatened you. And if you felt like that was threatening to you, I don't care. Welcome to freedom of speech. Now, if I say anybody on this committee that is here up there today is a worthless politician, I'm going to kick your ass, right? If I said that would be threatening somebody. There's a big difference. But the police, by the way, in the school boards and in these counties, they're doing this too, which shame on them for taking this man out. He didn't threaten anybody. And taking away the parents' chairs, do you think that's going to escalate the situation to these scumbag school board members? Seriously. If you can't take the heat, by the way, then get off the stage, folks. Get out of office, folks. Okay? Get off the stage. If you can't take criticism, get off the stage. And if you try to silence parents by taking away their chairs, which is what they did in Round Rock, what did you think was going to happen? You think they were going to give you a big hug, the parents, when you didn't have nowhere to sit and they couldn't get in the room because of your social distancing crap?
Believed more people should have had access to the main meeting room to participate in the discussion about whether the mask mandate would be extended.
Okay, point of order, guys. Guys, please stop.
The school district says they had it that way because of COVID-19. Regardless, two men are now lawyering up and say their arrests were an abuse of power.
I know that educators work hard, and they're so sacrificial, and so much that they do, and so we're not angry. We feel our civil rights have been violated.
Grace Reeder, KXAN.
By the way, they have. These two men being arrested for something like this being held for 24 hours is absurd. The two men were arrested late evening on Friday, held in the county jail overnight, released the next day, 9:30 a.m. on Saturday. That is nothing but intimidation. The arrests come after that Round Rock ISD board meeting on whether the district will extend their mask mandate. Regardless of Governor Greg Abbott's executive order was cut short and pushed to Wednesday of next week. Why was it cut short? Because they said, well, after the meeting went off the rails, because they antagonized the parents, they took away the seats, they cut people's microphones off, they said, we can't handle this, we're going to cut it short. You don't allow a reasonable number of people into the main chamber to participate in the meeting, and you think parents are just going to sit there and say, okay? And then when they bring it up, you say there was no reason to have more chairs where there's a hell of a lot of parents outside in the hallway. They said, well, we had an overflow room set up, right? Providing attendees with equal access to the meeting. No, if I come to your damn meeting, I want to be in the room where you're meeting. I don't want to be in another room, okay? That's not how this works. You guys work for us. These politicians are supposed to work for us. They're elected by us. You don't get to stick me in a virtual stream in another room or online outside because you don't want to hear what I have to say. And when you don't like what I say, you get me arrested? Fight back and lawyer up and show up. And there's a very good chance they're going to try to arrest you. Parents, you need to understand that when you do show up, they're going to do everything they can to try to destroy you. That's happening all over the country. If there's any trend, just go look on Google. Boonville police, man arrested at school board meeting after refusing to wear a mask or leave. There was an inauspicious start to the Warrick County School Board meeting Tuesday night. Authorities said a 38-year-old man, Kyle Snyder, was arrested and charged with felony trespassing. Yeah, we're going to make you a felon. During the meeting after refusing to wear a mask and then refusing to leave. Warrick County School Board Corporation Superintendent says they ask anyone to wear a mask when they enter the school property, adding the kids, staff, and parents have followed the rules since it was put in place. So if you don't follow that rule, we'll make you a felon. Just another example of how they're going to treat you. It's what they're going to do, folks. Time and time again. Two arrested at a Virginia school board meeting on critical race theory and transgender policy. Another headline. Two people arrested following a local school board meeting in Virginia that turned unruly. See, they now use words like unruly to say you're in the wrong. With officials shutting down the public comment period, because that's what they were hoping for during a heated debate about critical race theory and policy on transgender students. Police in Loudoun County said one person was accused of trespassing and issued a summons after refusing to leave the school board property, and another was charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest on Tuesday. School officials ended the public comment after concerned parents yelled over speakers and protesters disrupted the proceedings. See, you don't play by their rules, right? And then they just shut it all down because they don't want to listen to you. They don't have to because they're in charge. And remember, you're not. Let's move to another. Two arrested at a Brevard school board extends mask mandate. Students will be allowed to remove masks in classrooms if social distancing can be maintained. This out of Florida. A man and another woman arrested Tuesday before board members of the County Public School District. The district's policy on face coverings. The school board members voted to extend the mask mandate for students through October the 29th. Students will be allowed to remove their masks in the classroom if social distancing can be maintained of 6 feet, even though the new regulation is actually 3 feet. But whatever, we'll deal with that later. The school district mask exemption will go into effect on September the 29th. The district said students can opt out of wearing masks with a documented medical condition only. Devin Carter, whose child goes to the Apollo Elementary School, said masks are a good idea. Let's throw that parent on TV because that's the good parent, right? If it's going to keep our kids safe, I don't see what the big deal is, that parent said, just putting the mask on. Another parent said masks should be required to keep kids safe as well. Let's put all the good parents out there, the ones we like. In my opinion, I think all the kids should wear a mask for the kids' safety, another parent said to the local media. Prior to the meeting, however, Nicholas Carrington and Janice Chris, not related, 46, were arrested and charged with trespassing. Carrington faces charges of resisting an officer, trespassing, or failing to leave upon order, and disorderly intoxication. Chris faced charges of trespassing and refusing to leave and interfering with a school function. So now you're going to be felons for that, folks. This is what happens when you believe in your rights, Carrington said, as she was being escorted away from the county by the county deputies. Carrington and Chris said they signed up to talk during the public section of the meeting. Chris said she was not allowed into the meeting because she would not wear a mask. I look forward to these deputies being reprimanded by the government. During the meeting, several parents spoke out on both sides of the issue. But remember, you don't play by their rules or you talk too loud, they'll just have you arrested. Oh, and if you remember the other dad that was arrested this week, remember that dad? You had a rape victim's dad that has now ripped the Attorney General Garland for domestic terrorism suggestion. He went on TV to talk about how disgusting it is what he is seeing right now. This Virginia dad who says his daughter was raped in the school, in the girls' bathroom, was hauled out of the school board meeting because he said what they didn't want to hear. That's it. He said what they didn't want to hear. That's it. His child was raped by a dude wearing a skirt, just so you know. And charged with those crimes. And then the liberals didn't like what he was saying, so they decided to get him arrested. Now, I go back to what I said earlier. If you think the media isn't in on this, you are not paying attention. I will remind you of how the media is treating you as a parent right now in this country if you show up to a school board meeting.
Violent looking, angry, spewing parents outside of these schools.
Individuals intent on creating chaos for the sake of creating chaos.
These actions could be the equivalent to a form of domestic terrorism.
This becomes a security crisis, in a sense, for the nation.
This may also mobilize even more law enforcement to be at these meetings.
It is dangerous to our children when the parents themselves are the school bullies.
I think one of the worst things is the actions at the board meetings. The calling of names, tyrant, Marxist, communist.
We've never seen anything like we're seeing at these school boards now. What on earth has happened in this country?
Sometimes they're not even talking. They are yelling and creating chaos.
Things have become so scary at these meetings.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
New laws may be necessary.
There's always the possibility that people will face criminal prosecution for this kind of conduct.
The FBI and federal law enforcement is tailor-made for that kind of national level coordination with state and local police.
The Attorney General has put out a letter. They will take actions they take.
What does it mean that something that is generally boring and neutral, like a school board meeting, has become a locus for violence?
So you look at the rage.
Again, I go back to the locus for violence point here. I can only listen to so much of this crap before I have to comment. I mean, a locus of violence. Again, where's the violence? The only violence we're seeing right now is against the parents by the school boards. The only violence we're seeing is police throwing parents to the ground because the parents are being blunt and speaking. That's the only violence we're seeing, folks. The only violence that you're witnessing right now is violence against concerned parents whose microphones are being shut down and shut off. But it's a locus of violence. The violence is against the people being arrested, not against the school board members.
Gauge the anger, you think, what is this doing to the children in those homes and their mental health?
We have a board of ed working with the local school boards to determine the curriculum for our schools. You don't want parents coming in every different school jurisdiction.
And they
want
to.
We don't want parents coming in every different school district and having an opinion, right? That's Terry McAuliffe, guy running for governor in Virginia right now. Put parents' opinions on what their kids are taught? Come on. Let's get real here. Let's dial back the crazy. Let's be honest here about what really is happening. Okay, let's just slow down a little bit. We don't want parents coming in telling us what we're going to say or what we're going to do or how we're going to educate our children. Come on. He literally laughed at you for that, like laughed at the idea that you as a parent should have a say-so.
To shut down our schools and, you know, move kids over to charter schools and private schools without the oversight of the state. And that's wrong.
That's wrong. It's wrong that you're taking your kids out of schools. If there's anything you need to be learning from all of this today, it's this. If you pull your kids out of these schools, they lose all their power. They lose all their funding. Round Rock, I'll go back there. They've had more kids drop out of the Round Rock school districts in the last couple months than they have, I think they said, in the last decade combined. You want to know why? Because the parents are witnessing the psychotic, dictator, tyrant mentality of their school board and realizing they're not educating your children anymore. They're indoctrinating children. They're indoctrinating your children. That is what they are doing. They will call you the Taliban and they will arrest you. They will silence you. They will put you in jail and they will give you a mugshot. You better not show up. You better not show up, folks. You better not raise your voice. Doesn't matter what it is. Little side note here, just going to give you a quick headline. Updated sex ed guidance will spoon feed K through 12 children explicit sexual images, gender identity, and abortion. A new report has come out. The National Sex Education Standards updated their 2020 guidance is featuring what many parents may be considering totally inappropriate material. The new standards, according to the report, were conceived by the Future of Sex Education Initiative, a partnership between advocates for youth, Answer, and Sex Ed for Social Change that seek to create a national dialogue about the future of sex education to promote the institutionalization of quality sex education in public schools. That's what they claim. According to the new report, the sex education blueprint is steeped in extremism, sexual ethics, that's their words, not mine, and are, quote, designed to destroy children's innocence as well as undermine their Christian faith. The CDC, in a 2016 report, noted that approximately 40% of school districts across the country adopted the National Sex Education Standards in the 2011 edition, a much less extreme version of its 2020 successor. The 2020 standards unequivocally endorse abortion at any time, teach a topic starting in sixth grade of abortion, and even force teachers to provide information on local abortion clinics to students in the ninth grade. The standards also insist that children must be allowed to choose their own gender. And false pronouns must, quote, be respected by the adults in their lives, including the school system. According to the new standards, children as young as kindergarten age should learn about gender identity, while third grade students should learn about the role of hormone blockers for transgendered youth. Teachers should also be equipped and required to explain masturbation to students as young as just 8 years old. Explain masturbation, how to do it. It gets worse from there. Bell noted that sixth graders, who are often 11 and 12 years old, must define oral, anal, and vaginal sex, as well as the benefits of withdrawing one's, I'm quoting, penis before ejaculation during intercourse. Your kid has to define that on a test in sixth grade in our public schools with the new guidelines. Sixth graders, the group said, should also learn that people ought not assume that people with a penis are boys and people with a vagina are girls, and that they should never assume another person's sexual orientation. Students of this age group, according to the guidance, should also attend LGBTQ rallies and challenge themselves and others on ways to combat homophobia. Sixth graders would also engage in a card game in which cards ask whether various sex acts, I'm quoting, this is what your kids will be taught in schools, oral sex, mouth on genitals, anal sex, penis to anus, are considered abstinence. For seventh graders, anything, I'm quoting, this is in your public school, so if you're offended by what I'm writing right now, do not be offended by this, because I'm just reading what they're teaching your kids in the new guidance in the public schools. For seventh graders, anything but sperm, quote unquote, in vagina would constitute abstinence, the guidance added, and teachers would demonstrate how to put on a condom. A lesson for eighth graders, the guidance added, would encourage anal and oral sex over vaginal sex in order to avoid pregnancy. These are the new standards according to the organization. They were written with a trauma-informed lens, have been infused, quote, with principles of reproductive justice, racial justice, social justice, and equity, address social determinants of health and how these can lead to inequitable health outcomes, and take an intersectional approach. This edition uses less cis and hetero-informative language and reflects on broader range of relationships and identities. This is in your public schools, and if you're offended by what I just said to you, then you should probably go to your next school board meeting and say, no, not in my kid's classroom. If you're offended by what I just read, that's what they're teaching your sixth grader. You're welcome for telling you. There has been a great awakening that is happening in this country. There is always a cause and effect in elections and afterwards. I've been saying this when people say, the world is over because Barack Obama got elected. I said, no, it's not. And look what happened. He gave us Donald Trump. They're back in force. Now you've got Joe Biden. The world's going to end. No, it's not. There are always things that come from the bad things that are actually happening. Jimmy Carter gave us one of the greatest presidents of all time, and Ronald Reagan. Bill Clinton gave us George Bush and what his leadership was after 9/11. If you think about things that way, you actually understand that some great things can happen because of the election of Joe Biden. And what is happening now before our very eyes is the Great Awakening. You know, for decades, I would argue, we have been dormant in our public school involvement. It makes sense why it happened. Parents who had the means to get their kids out of failing schools took their kids out of failing public schools and either homeschooled them or put them in private schools, etc. What has happened recently, however, is a great awakening. Parents whose kids are stuck in these schools are now fighting back, and parents who have kids that are in private schools but are still paying taxes are now getting involved and getting their backs. Elected officials are starting to realize what has happened in our private schools, which is we've been indoctrinating our kids with propaganda, like critical race theory. We have been putting out information to these kids that is nothing more than pedophilia and horrific sexual descriptions and teachings of things with kids. This has been going on for years. The books that we are now witnessing that are in our kids' public schools are books that are teaching them some of the worst things ever. And it's nothing more than a breeding ground for pedophilia. You look at now what's happened, and a lot of the waking up to what's actually going on in your classrooms in America was all caused by something totally unrelated to the two issues I just mentioned to you. It started with the mask mandates. Then it continued with not just mask mandates, but vaccine mandates. It started with leaders like the Governor Newsom in California, who's come out saying, not only are you going to have to vaccinate your kid in public schools, but if you think you can run and hide to a private school, you're also wrong. I'm going to mandate vaccines for the private schools as well. And people woke up. The mask mandates were a great example. The canceling of school last year was a great example. The virtual learning was a great example. The separating parents from their children if their parents aren't vaccinated, another great example. The list goes on and on and on and on. Now, an Ohio mayor is becoming a sensation on the internet. He has become a hero, and a community is backing him after he threatened to charge members of the local school board with child pornography over a controversial lesson plan that no one would have known about if it wasn't for all the issues I just mentioned getting us to this point, in which students were instructed to write about highly sexualized subject matters. Some of what I'm going to play for you may be disturbing. It is disturbing. And I'm playing it for you because this is actually what's happening to our children in our public schools. And when we abandon our public schools and we went to the private schools and we forgot that we are responsible for our tax dollars, these sick people took over. But all this now is coming to light, thank goodness. All of this is now being exposed, thank goodness, because parents and taxpayers are starting to check and look and see what's happening in these classrooms now because of the way that they were treated by these school boards over mask mandates, vaccine mandates, their kids not being able to play sports, not even be able to sit next to each other, having to go home and teach them over the internet. There are terrible things that have happened in education. And the lack of quality education over the last year because of COVID-19. And we have seen that the public schools don't care about our kids. They actually just care about the union members. We have seen the unions lie and deceive to protect their union employees and make it where they don't have to go to work while we took an entire year of kids' lives and their education and it disappeared. And their extracurricular activity and their sports and it just disappeared. And now parents are involved again. So when bad things happen, good things can come from it. Now, I'm going to play for you some stuff, and it is shocking. It is horrific. But it's important that you know that this is what your kids are actually reading. Their assignments that they're actually doing, the writing, and some of it will offend you. And if it does offend you, do not blame me for this. Blame the schools for actually teaching this and allowing this in the classroom, because everything you're hearing and what I'm going to play for you is things that are actually happening to your children. Now, first up is this Ohio mayor, and I want you to hear what he had to say about all of this to the school board. Take a listen.
Mr. Earl, members of the board, my name is Craig Schubert. I'm the mayor of this city. It has come to my attention that your educators are distributing essentially what is child pornography in the classroom. I've spoken to a judge this evening. She's already confirmed that. So I'm going to give you a simple choice. You either choose to resign from this Board of Education or you will be charged. Thank you.
That was pretty simple. 40 seconds. Now, before that mayor gave his impassioned ultimatum, concerned parents lashed out at the school board, reading directly from the controversial assignments that their children were actually given. They were given assignments. That's how this all came to light. Those assignments.
Mr. Zero.
This is what they
write
are.
Write a sex scene you wouldn't show your mom. Rewrite the sex scene from above into one that you'd let your mom read. Describe your favorite part of a man's body using only verbs. Describe a time when you wanted to orgasm but couldn't. You have just been caught in bed by a jealous spouse. How would you talk your way out of this? Write a sermon for a beloved preacher who has been caught in a sex scandal. 10 euphemisms for sex. You're a brand new suicide hotline counselor. Describe how you feel during the course of your first call. Write a letter from the point of view of a drug addict. Drink a beer. Write about the taste. Write an X-rated Disney scenario. A room full of people who want to sleep together. The first time you had sex. Choose how you will die. Write a scene that begins, "It was the first time I killed a man." You have a dream that you murdered someone. Who is it? How and why did the murder happen, and what happens afterwards? You are a serial killer. What TV shows are on your DVR list, and why? I hope each and every one of you is as uncomfortable as I am after reading that. Now, imagine you are a 17 and in a room full of peers with an adult teacher. How do you feel now? This is what Hudson teachers are asking our children to write about. When these topics are encouraged and read by adults, that is pedophilia. And this is happening on your watch. This is grooming, and all of you need to be replaced. While you have dedicated yourselves to woke social justice and failed medical experiments, you have been found sleeping on the job. This book has been in our schools for 6 years.
6 years, folks. These assignments were given out to children, telling them to write sexually explicit assignments for 6 years. All of this, by the way, being exposed. And this book, by the way, that she's mentioning is apparently in public schools all over the country. It's not like this is a one-off. It's not like this is some unique, weird assignment in only one school in America. So you can say, well, Ben, calm down. This book is apparently all over the country. This book has been used in this school district as curriculum for 6 years. Imagine being a parent. Imagine being this mom. And for 6 years, this is what your kids have been being taught, and you had no idea. And this book is being used all over the country, and you had no idea. And you just now found out these assignments are happening. Imagine. Imagine your anger. Imagine your outrage. Imagine how frustrated you would be.
This book has been in our schools for 6 years. 6 years! You have allowed the sexualization of our youth and grooming material to be approved for classroom content. I have a copy of the code of ethics you all swore to abide by. Code 0123R. Select sound instructional strategies and materials seconds. And submit them to regular and impartial evaluations. Are you telling me this book was submitted and approved? If not, then how can you expect us to believe that CRT will not be taught in our schools? If it was approved, how can we trust anything you are teaching our children? By the following board meeting, I want to know what the consequences were for providing this material to our children and the following questions. Who will be terminated over this book? Where was the book purchased from? Who made the decision to use the book? Who is responsible in selecting the book? What teachers have been using this book? And each and every one of you should be ashamed.
Do.
This woman, by the way, this mother is asking not just for the book to be thrown out. She's asking for accountability, which is what we should be asking for of every school board and every teacher that uses curriculum, in my opinion, should immediately be fired. Giving assignments to children saying, write about your sexual fantasy, write about your first sexual encounter, write about your orgasms, write about your... these are actual English writing assignments in our public schools with a book that's been around in most of these school districts 6-7 years. This curriculum is being used and taught. This is nothing but pedophilia. This is grooming of children. Imagine if you're a father and you find out that you have a male teacher that is giving this assignment to your daughter, what would your reaction be in that scenario?
Do not sexualize our kids. The raw filth that snuck past the gatekeeping functions of this Board of Ed
in 642 reasons was disgusting.
By the way, I don't think it was snuck by them. That's where I would disagree with his father. This is happening all over the country, we now know. And it's because we ran away from the schools and we let the psychotic left take over the schools, these socialist, communist, critical race theory, be ashamed of being white, sexualize everything, the transgender bathroom people. We let them take over the schools. They've been running them and indoctrinating an entire generation. And it's because we were asleep at the wheel, but now we've been awoken. So you better get in your kid's school. I don't even care if your kid goes to school or not. If you live in a community, you pay taxes. I am a firm believer that you should be accountable for where your dollars are used and what they're spent on. If you pay taxes and your taxes go to the schools, then you have a moral obligation to make sure that your tax dollars are not going to programs and to writings and to an indoctrination of a society like this. Just because you don't have a kid or you pulled your kid out and put him in private school or your kid's already graduated, you're a grandparent, doesn't mean, this is my view, that you and your tax dollars, your dollars are off the hook from accountability.
Absolutely disgusting. One of the questions they wanted people to write on was to explain a time when you wanted to orgasm but couldn't. The students were told not to take the book home. Why? So their parents couldn't see it.
You hear that? That to me is a crime. That is straight up pedophilia. That is straight up pornography. When you as a teacher tell your children in your classroom to not take a book home while you ask them to write an assignment. And if I'm offending you, it's not me. You should be angry with the schools for teaching this. When you tell children in a classroom of all ages, as low as the fourth grade, this type of propaganda, and you tell them to write about a time that they couldn't orgasm and why, and then you tell them not to take the book home so their parents won't see it. For 6 years, they've been teaching this. Don't tell me the school board's asleep at the wheel. This is deliberate. This is criminal.
You know what that's called? Grooming. I heard that Mr. Wilch acted pretty quickly when he heard about this. But I did a little checking. You know, you've had that curriculum in use for several years. What else are you hiding from us? Do not sexualize our kids. Thank you.
What else are you hiding from us is exactly the question that he and everybody else should be asking right now. You want to know what else is out there for your kids? I'm gonna play for you another parent revealing the sexually explicit material given to their fourth graders, given to their children. I'm talking about little children in the classroom. This is in another part of the country. Not connected to the last story I just told you, because this is happening all over the country now. And what I'm going to play for you is offensive, and it should offend you. It should make you angry. But do not be mad at me for playing it, because this is what they're actually teaching your kids. If you're mad at me for telling you about this story, then think about how mad you should be that the book that she is about to read from, that is given to fourth graders, children, little children, is being used as a curriculum in the schools.
I'm just thankful that y'all don't have the ability to make a mask mandate. And tonight I was going to talk about the need for a second high school, but I was sidetracked by, for the boys, pussy or the idea of pussy or the idea of pussy. A Mexican is a Mexican is a Mexican. Take her out back, we boys figured, then hand on the table. Put it in her coin box, put it in her cornhole, grab a hold of that braid, rub that calico. You can find that on page 39 of the book called Out of Darkness, which you can find at Hudson Bend Middle School and Bee Cave Middle School.
At middle school. What she just read is in the books that your kids can read, and apparently not just at this middle school. This is one of those, you know, Teachers Education Association's preferred list of reading books. So all of these schools buy these books with your tax dollars. If you are offended by what you just heard, then you might want to go to your schools. I don't care if your kids go there or not. I'm talking about the public schools that you fund, and you should check and see if these books are actually there.
All right, not gonna lie, I had to Google cornhole because I have the game in the back of my yard. But according to Wikipedia, cornhole is a sexualist slang vulgarism for anus. The term came into the use in the 1910s of the United States as verb form to cornhole, which came into usage in the 1930s, means to have anal sex. I do not want my children to learn about anal sex in middle school. I have never had anal sex. I don't want to have anal sex. I don't want my kids having anal sex. I want you to start focusing on education and not public health.
Stone, you're on.
That, by the way, is an angry mother whose microphone was cut off because she was making too much sense. Imagine having a middle schooler and that is what they're teaching them. And again, if you're angry by what you just heard, don't be mad at me for playing it, because this is what is in your schools. Don't be bamboozled that these books and the stories that I'm playing for you right now are just like one-offs and accidents. It's not really happening. Let me remind you of exactly how much disdain the public school systems have, the teachers' unions have, for parents that are involved in their kids' lives. And politicians, specifically Democrat politicians. Terry McAuliffe, former chairman of the Democratic Party, who's running for governor now in Virginia, actually said during a debate the other night on September the 28th, quote, "I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decisions. I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach." McAuliffe now is trying to walk back those comments, even though it's very clear that he meant what he said when he said it, because the poll numbers are dropping on this exact issue. I'm going to read for you one more time the quote. This is a former chairman of the Democratic National Party. He's running for governor in Virginia. McAuliffe to Democrats in Washington, D.C., he's trying to point the finger at them now because they're bringing, he claims, down his campaign, say, do your job. You need to get more done. Criticizing Joe Biden, saying he's not getting enough done. Dude, if you lose, it's not because of them, it's because of this. Imagine being a parent, imagine being at home, and imagine watching the guy who wants to be your governor asking you for your vote, saying, quote, "I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decisions. I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach." This is exactly why the schools are the way they are right now. Now, McAuliffe was asked about this. He's tried to backpedal as fast as he can because he realizes, wow, it's really hurting his campaign. That's a statement that he truly believes, I have no doubt, the way he said it. He obviously believes it. He thinks this. He thinks parents should shut up. They should never come to schools. They should never read the books. They should not look at what we're indoctrinating their kids, because we need to indoctrinate your kids so they'll vote for us for the rest of their lives. We need to teach them to be socialists and be okay with giving up all their rights and all of their liberties. We want them to be indoctrinated by the Democratic Party. This is the former chairman. He would know that. Now he's coming back saying, oh, no, of course parents should have a role in education. Sorry, dude, it's already too late. You said it. You said, I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decisions. You said that. That's what you said. No one else said it. You said it. Take a listen to McAuliffe trying to walk back these comments now after they have really hurt his campaign.
Well, let me ask you, what did you mean when you said that parents had no role in coming into schools in one of the debates?
Parents, listen, I'm a father of five children. Of course parents have a role in education. We all do.
That's not what you said. You said, quote, "I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. I'm not going to let parents come into schools and actually take books out and make their own decisions."
Well, what we need to do on education, and my plan is, listen, a Fox poll out the other day, a double-digit lead. with parents for Terry McAuliffe. You know why? Because I did a record investment in education last time. I have a $2 billion plan that I want to take education forward. I want to raise teacher pay. I want to get the 40,000 at-risk students pre-K. I want every child to have broadband. Glenn Youngkin's plan on education, his plan, 43,000 teachers will be cut. Don't take my word for it. Read the Washington Post editorial, three independent studies that say his plan will cut 43,000.
If you want broadband, they should have signed that bipartisan infrastructure bill.
Right off the bat, I get $100 million in Virginia. Next day.
He's a Democrat in the White House. I think you know his phone number.
My message to everybody, you know, let's get everybody in a room. We can get this figured out. But, you know.
I love the pandering here. Like, he gets asked a semi-tough question by Andrea Mitchell, and she's like, dude, you're just blaming everybody else for this. You're the one that said it. No, I'm not saying it that way. Well, you kind of are. No, I'm not. Well, you're the one saying we need this, that, and the other, and all this money we have, and well, how are you going to play for it? Well, you know, we just got to get in the room and work it out. It's like the Nancy Pelosi. We won't know what's in the bill until we pass the bill, and then we'll tell you what's in the bill.
It's not about me, and it's not about the upcoming election.
Sure it is. It's absolutely about you and the upcoming election. You scumbag. You're the guy that just came out and told people, I'm not going to let parents come into schools as the governor of Virginia and actually take books out and make their own decisions. You're saying if you're the governor of Virginia, I don't think the parents should be telling schools what they should teach. You're the one that said it. Nobody else. Back to another parent who's had enough. What I'm going to play for you next, I will say it again, is absolutely offensive. It is disgusting, but it's in your kids' schools. And that's why I'm going to play it for you.
Ask my children if I could check the books that they've picked up from the school. My son picked up this brand new book from the shelves in class, Lawn Boy. He was under the impression it was about a kid that ends up with a gig mowing the grass at Disneyland. I'd like to share a few quotes with you. This first one, just turn it around. On page 19, not that it really matters in fourth grade, at a church youth group meeting out in the bushes, I touched Doug Goebel's dick and he touched mine. In fact, there was even some mouths involved. Next one, page 91. What if I told you I touched another guy's dick? What if I told you I sucked it? I was 10 years old, but it's true. I put Doug Goebel's in my mouth. I was in fourth grade. It was no big deal. He sucked mine too. And you know what? It wasn't terrible.
Fourth grade, 10-year-olds. This is the book written in fourth grade at a church youth group. I touched a man's blank and he touched mine. In fact, there were even some blanks involved. This is the school book that you fourth graders, and apparently this book, Lawn Boy, has been bought by school districts all over the country for your fourth grader to read.
Page 174, I don't know if I made a sign for this one. Yeah, I did. He talked about old times at the church, but never mentioned our penises or the fact that he never said 10 words to me after our little foray in the bushes. Not a single reference to holding or tugging or sucking dicks. All I could think about while he was chatting me up was his little salamander between my fourth grade fingers wrapped.
Fourth grade fingers. The writer is writing this book as it is written, as a story being told by a fourth grader who's 10 years old, so that other fourth graders who are 10 years old can actually read this and say, oh, well, this is normal. This is pornography. This is pedophilia. This is child abuse. And this book is quite possibly in a significant number of your children's or your district's or your grandchildren's schools right now.
Rapidly engorging with blood. Page 230, I didn't make a sign for this. Why won't you admit we sucked each other's dick? We shared a Hershey's bar, then you showed me your dick. The next thing I know, it's in my mouth. We sucked each other's dick, and you're pretending it didn't happen. What sort of diversity are you intending to teach my child with material like this? In addition, I'll share with you the exceptional quality of vocabulary. I stopped counting on page 66 after 44 and 41 shit. The depravity.
44 F-bombs and 44, I think is what she said. S-H-I, you know what. In a book for fourth graders. In your public schools in America right now. Written from a viewpoint of a fourth grader who's 10 years old talking about his gay sexual encounters and how it's totally normal. Eat a Hershey's bar and then do this.
Of the content on the shelves in our schools cannot be mitigated with policy EF. At this point, I need you to know that according to policy FFH, hold this one please, local sexual harassment is defined as unwanted sexual advances, sexually motivated verbal, nonverbal conduct, or other conduct or communication of a sexual nature when the conduct is so severe, persistent, or pervasive that it affects a student's ability to participate in or benefit from an educational program or activity, or otherwise adversely affects a student's educational opportunities or creates an intimidating, hostile educational environment. What sort of educational environment do you think the plethora of sexually graphic books selections create for my children, or for any child for that matter?
I'm going to jump back in here because there's a couple things that you're probably right now going through your head that you're angry. You may be angry at the author. You may be angry at the publisher. You may say to yourself, why aren't they in trouble? Why aren't they arrested? They shouldn't be. Okay, that's not the point here. The question you should be asking is, what happened to law and order in our schools? The question is, why aren't charges being filed against the school board and those that purchase these books? Why aren't they being charged with crimes of pedophilia and child pornography? You have the right to publish this type of smut. You do in America. You do not, but that doesn't mean that school boards should be spending our dollars to buy it and then put it in the hands of children, grooming them for God knows what. This is pornography and this is pedophilia. And giving this book to a fourth grader in our public schools, apparently, from what I've been told, all over America, these books are being recommended all over America. I'll go back one more time to that assignment because I think this teacher or this parent brought it up perfectly, okay? This parent brought it up perfectly when she found out that her kids in middle school were given an assignment by teachers because of a curriculum. Not one teacher. Okay, this isn't one-off teachers here. This is an entire school district that was giving out the assignment, and these are your options in English class to write about. She's going to read you the list. Here's what you're going to write about. Here are your options on what to write about. Here is the list we're recommending for you to write about this. And this was given out to middle schoolers as well.
Zero. Write a sex scene you wouldn't show your mom. Rewrite the sex scene from above into one that you'd let your mom read. Describe your favorite part of a man's body using only verbs. Describe a time when you wanted to orgasm but couldn't. You've just been caught in bed by a jealous spouse. How would you talk your way out of this? Write a sermon for a beloved preacher who has been caught in a sex scandal. 10 euphemisms for sex. You're a brand new suicide hotline counselor. Describe how you feel during the course of your first call. Write a letter from the point of view of a drug addict. Drink a beer. Write about the taste. Write an X-rated Disney scenario. A room full of people who want to sleep together. The first time you had sex. Choose how you will die. Write a scene that begins, "It was the first time I killed a man." You have a dream that you murdered someone. Who is it? How and why did the murder happen, and what happens afterwards? You are a serial killer. What TV shows are on your DVR list, and why? I hope each and every one of you is as uncomfortable as I am after reading that. Now, imagine you are 17 and in a room full of peers with an adult teacher. How do you feel now? This is what Hudson teachers are asking our children to write about. When these topics are encouraged and read by adults, that is pedophilia. And this is happening on your watch.
Think about the things that didn't even deal with sex for a moment. Drink a beer, write about it. You're encouraging underage drinking of middle schoolers and high schoolers, junior hires. Talk about how you want to die and off yourself with suicide. Talk about the people you want to kill. Tell us about your home and what's saved on your parents' DVD, your DVR, whatever you want to call it. Tell us what your parents watch at home. so we know what you're like at home and what your life is like at home. Translation, do your parents watch Fox News, Newsmax, OAN, conservative things? Or are you one of the ones that's liberal, so maybe I can seek you out and get you to do things with me? Pedophilia, that's what you're doing. You're shopping. Your parents watch things at home that maybe they're not paying attention to you and what I'm doing with you. That is grooming. Everything I just described to you is happening not just in one school, not just in one classroom, in entire school districts. I hope that every single one of you will go to your schools and look at what the hell is going on and look at the classes and look at what's happening and ask your kids the basic question. You're going to say, hey, what books are you not allowed to bring home? Because that's a trend we're seeing pretty clearly. Apparently, there's a lot of books that your kids aren't at that are not allowed to bring home because they don't want you to see them. Start there. Second thing, please share this podcast. Parents need to know what's happening in their kids' classrooms. Parents need to know what their kids are being taught. Parents need to know what's in their kids' curriculum, what books are in the library, and what they're paying for. So get in the game and share this, please. See you back here tomorrow.